Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, where we are breaking down District 3 athletics and activities week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. We're joined by our Treasure Valley resident and expert, Logan Green. LG, what's up?
Hey, Brandon. Just ready for another great week of sports here in Idaho, as usual. A lot of good stuff going on. It feels like we've hit the home stretch here over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, hitting the home stretch, and we will start this home stretch with track and field. Right, that's where you hit the home stretch, is on the back, right. The back end of the 100.
You have to make it to the home stretch to be on that, and that's not a place I ever will make it.
Yeah, but I was.
They will. The athletes will.
Yeah. So I don't know. We've talked about, I don't know if it was here or another prep cast. I did track and field when I was in high school because A, my football coach told me to, and B, because it was a reason to get out of school. You know, I didn't take it too seriously. I got out of it what I put into it. I was a thrower. But every once in a while, I would say something smart to my coach, and then she'd make me run the 100 as like a punishment. So,
get up there and give me a sprint, Brandon.
Yeah, I went to one of these meets where usually when you go to like a bigger meet, they arrange the heats by time, right? So like, hey, the 10 best times are all going to run together. Well, I went to a meet where it was like, hey, whatever order you sign up, that's how we're running it. And I end up right in the lane next to me as like a two-time All-State sprinter from like another school. That's going to just like,
yeah, this looks bad.
I ran like 14 something in the 100, which is just atrocious, but it probably looked like 24 seconds next to that guy.
Like, where's the, wow, this guy's slow. But you're right. I wasn't in track or cross country in high school, and doing this, we've covered a couple of track meets and cross country meets over the time. And those things start early in the morning and go all day long. And like, man, hey, you get out of school all day for this. I mean, we had some road games, you know, that might have been to one part of the state or another that took some time, but this is all day.
Yep. So it was always nice when, you could get out and enjoy the sunshine a little bit too during track and field season. Well, that's where we're going to start today, Logan. Last week, 40 teams came to the Boise Valley for the Boise Relays, actually hosted not by a Boise school, but by Mountain View High School in Meridian. But that makes sense because that's where the 5A and 4A state championships are going to be next month. And so a lot of teams wanted to go to the venue to kind of get a feel for how it's going to play out at state. So, this week's edition of the Bell Lap. It is Tuesday, April 16th, as we're recording this on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. Tuesdays are for track and field at IdahoSports.com. And Marlo Herford has another great edition of the Bell Lap coming up. It'll be up on the website as soon as we're done recording this, Logan. But in it, she does a deep dive into the Boise relays and everything that happened there last week. It was quite the meet. 40 teams came, and there were some really impressive performances that we'll dive into, but just a good weekend overall.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, we'll get into some of it. You know, some teams continue to win in just about everything, which we saw here in this meet, but yeah, a lot of good stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff coming up here this week as well, when it comes to track and field around the state.
Yeah, Boise, you're going to be shocked to hear this. Boise High won the boys and girls team titles, Logan, at the Boise Relay. They're so dominant in cross country and track and field.
Yeah, and it's like, let me guess, was Noe Kemper involved there? Probably, yes. Oh, go figure.
Yeah, he and Cooper Smith go 1-2 in the 200. In the 400, both run sub 50 times, which is just remarkable. Jordan McDonald wins the high jump on the boys' side. They did have, this isn't an officially sanctioned event in high school, Logan, but it is in college and, regional competitions, the steeplechase. Noe Kemper ran the steeplechase, the two, the 2K steeplechase and won that event. He's going to run that next week in Oregon at the Oregon Relays. So a good warm up there. Have you ever watched the steeplechase before, Logan?
No, I have not.
It's the one. It's the one in the Olympics where you're running around the track and then they have these water pits that you have to jump into and then you got to run through the water. I'm sure you've seen it during the Olympics.
I have seen that. Yes.
Yeah. It's like all a right. huge pit of water that you got to jump into and then run through the rest of it. Yeah. The steeplechase. So
yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. No, thanks. I'm good. That's not the event for me.
I can barely run on land, let alone water.
Right. Boise also won a couple of relays. On the girls' side, Grace Lanfear won the 300 hurdles. Autumn Shoemaker won the long jump. Boise won the 4x2 on the girls' side. So a very nice weekend for Boise High at the Boise Relays. But that wasn't the only. You know, there are other individuals and teams outside of Boise High. For example, Colton Osborne from Centennial won the 100, his third win in the 100 so far this season. And how about Van Vinson from McCall Donnelly winning the pole vault, clearing 14-6, a 3A kid beating all these 5As and 4As.
Yeah, that's what I love to see, right? Those kids coming in. And because really track and field is somewhere where it doesn't matter your school size at all, right? You are just you and you're out there competing against everybody. Obviously, there's a team score. But at the end of the day, you can be the best in your event, no matter what school size you come from.
Yep. Other winners, Cam Davis of Bishop Kelly won the long jump. On the girls' side, Christine Huckins won the 100 from Capital. We talked about her a couple of weeks ago. She's just a sophomore. Capital won the 4x1 as well. Quincy Keller won the 200 from Mountain View. Riley Stevens of Mountain View won the 1600. There was a girls steeplechase. Lily Sullivan of Capital won that. And so just great performances across the board. We kind of joked about this on the North Idaho PrepCast, Logan. When the track and field season started, all the best times and distances and marks were from like North Idaho teams because the weather up here was really nice while the Treasure Valley was getting hammered with rain. But now that the weather's gotten nicer, you're starting to see all those Treasure Valley athletes go to the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, finally, it's like the windows have opened to the weather, and it seems so much better now. I mean, we broadcast the DirectCom Invitational, which we'll be at this week, and it seems like it is always raining, snowing, something. And knock on every piece of wood I have, it looks good this weekend for that. So everybody's happy to see the sun come out across all sports right now, I think.
Yes. Let's talk about that a little bit, because this will be our third consecutive broadcast of the DirectCom Invitational on idahosports.com. It's a big endeavor. It's an entire day's worth of track and field action. It takes place in Pocatello at Idaho State University's Davis Field, which is a immaculate facility. Awesome. It hosted the Big Sky Conference Championships just 2 years ago. And we do have a couple of teams from the Treasure Valley coming over to make the trip, Logan.
Yeah, Nampa Christian going to make the long drive, as well as New Plymouth. And at least from what we've seen, those are the only two that'll be there. If we're missing somebody, feel free to let us know that we were wrong. And of course, we'll see everybody there on Friday. But it should be fun to see both of those teams out there. I think last year, Melba came with all their great athletes, and they really took home some hardware there last year. But just the two teams this year, it seemed like there's a lot of teams that are heading over to those Oregon Invitational, Nike or whatever it's called this week here from the Treasure Valley. So not as many heading over to the DirectCom.
Yeah, a couple of names to keep an eye on, maybe from Nampa Christian, Thomas Dewary in the sprints. Ian Johnson's a really good sprinter as well. He's got the top 400 time in the state right now amongst 2A athletes, Logan. You're looking at Noah Howerzel in the 800 as a name to keep an eye on. And these are all from Nampa Christian. Howerzel also runs the hurdles. Nampa Christian's got pretty good relay teams. I mean, Nampa Christian has been known for really good distance runners in the past, really good relays. So we're going to see more of the same. They've got the top 4x4 time in the 2A classification this year. So on the boys' side, a lot of good athletes from Napa Christian going to be on display.
Yeah, and we'll see how they fit in to these, you know, not fit in, but how they compare to some of these teams from Eastern Idaho. It always gives you a good measuring stick, right, of how you match up against teams from other areas that you might not always see all the time. So it should be good for both of those teams to see programs, to see where they stack up, because, you know, state is just around the corner, about a month away. So not much time left on the calendar.
Yeah, just wrapping up on the boys' side for Napa Christian, Micah Evenhouse is top 5 in the pole vault. Donovan Wiles, a name we recognize from basketball season, he's top 5 in the high jump. That checks out and makes sense. Thomas DeWary, in addition to the sprints, also top 5 in the triple jump. And the top javelin throw, and these are all at the 2A level, the top javelin throw, new event, Logan, the top javelin throw in the state for 2A belongs to Josiah Gustin from New Plymouth. How about that?
Yeah, so we'll hopefully see that going out there in the middle of the field this weekend.
Yep. On the girls' side, a couple athletes to keep an eye on. Avery Reese in the sprints, the short sprints, especially from Napa Christian. Avery Reese also runs the 100 hurdles. She's got the top time there. So that's a name you'll be calling a lot, I'm sure, Logan. Avery Reese from Napa Christian. On the girls' side, they've got some pretty good relays. They've got the top 4x800 relay in the 2A classification this year as well. And then when you go over to the field events and you start to look, Avery Reese, again, Logan, top long jump in the state this year for 2A. Jaden Magnuson of Napa Christian, second in the triple jump as well. So Avery Reese from Napa Christian might be a name you're calling a lot.
Right, I'll write it down, make sure it's on the tip of my tongue ready to go, because it seems like it's going to be said many times throughout the day.
That's right. So that's this Friday, starting at 10 a.m. on idahosports.com, the annual DirectCom Invitational from Idaho State University's Davis Field. And it'll be fun to see kids from all over competing. I mean, it'll be a lot of East Idaho, but Kellogg, I think, is coming down from the north. Yeah. Napa Christian and New Plymouth coming from the Treasure Valley, too.
Yeah, tons of fun.
Yep. And so, again, you can tune into that on idahosports.com Friday morning. Just click on the game streams tab at the top of the homepage. All right, Logan, let's move on to softball and baseball. We like to do one deep dive every week on the Treasure Valley PrepCast, right? We take one baseball team. We take one softball team, usually a team that's kind of near the top or excelling, and we do a deep dive into what's making them so successful. What do you want to start with today?
Yeah, let's start with the Fruitland baseball. I mean, they've been a team in the mix the last couple of years at state. They've been a young team, and you know, maybe some of that youth is starting to finally pay its dividends as we get down to the end of this season. And they're going to be in the mix currently. Right now, they sit at 4-1 in the conference, 10-4 overall. They've had a great season so far. Just waiting for that Homedale rematch. Those two played a couple of weeks ago. And it was only a 1-0 game. So excited to see. That's going to come down to the wire. And we talked a lot about Homedale baseball, but we shouldn't forget Fruitland baseball as well.
Yeah, Fruitland baseball just picked up a conference win over Weezer back on April 1st, 8-2. And Weezer's kind of been the other, like the last couple of years, it's been Homedale and Fruitland and Weezer, right? Those are the big three. They've beaten Parma. They've beaten McCall Donnelly. They've beaten Payette. They just played Homedale last night, Logan, and fell 8-0. So gave them their second conference loss of the year. They're now 4-0.
Oh, man, I don't know why I didn't see that.
No.
You played last night.
You're good. You're totally good. They lost both games to Homedale this year. They're done with the Trojans until districts. The first game, though, remember, it was 1-0. It was very tight. This one, 8-0, still in terms of keeping it close with the favorite in the league, Homedale. I mean, Fruitland is right there. And this is just a program that seems to be eternally young. You mentioned all these freshmen and sophomores they've been playing over the past couple of years, Logan. And then when I look at their stats, you know, it's like a couple of freshmen leading the way at the plate. Titus Vidlak, who quarterbacked the football team this fall, he's batting 415 on the season. And then it's another freshman right behind him, Nate Grosvenor, and he's batting 389. So it's a couple of young bucks again leading the way.
Yeah, you look at some of the top players on this Fruitland team, and you don't see many seniors. The one senior that's doing, you know, a lot, right, in terms of playing and at-bats and plate appearances and all that is Tyler Black. But you've got guys like Troy Kaufman, who's just a junior, Quinn Hood, just a junior, Jace Mordhorse is a junior, and Vidlak, like you said, is a freshman. I feel like I have called those three names, those those juniors' names so many times because we have, I mean, we've done Fruitland football. I've done some Fruitland basketball. Fruitland's baseball team has been at state and have done 3A the last couple of years. It's like, when do these guys graduate? It seems like they've just been there forever. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, man, they're, you know, you just get lost in that this name has been here forever because they've been doing it at such a young age consistently, right? A lot of times football, you might see them as a junior and a senior, right? But, you know, you're seeing them right now as freshmen take over and be in that position for four straight years. And, they're going to show up, I think, this year and make a good push at state. Like you mentioned, some great players. Grosvenor has 19 RBIs. He leads the team in RBIs, and he's just a freshman. So Fruitland baseball is just locked and loaded and ready to go.
Yeah, and some of these juniors that you talked about, Logan, I remember doing the 3A state baseball tournament with you 2 years ago when these juniors were freshmen, and they were all getting pretty good run time. Coy Kaufman was playing a lot at short and second. Jace Mordhorst was playing, I think, first base in the outfield, if I'm remembering correctly. So those two were getting – Landon Bashong was a kid that was playing a lot. He's now their top pitcher, Logan Bashong, the junior, in 29 innings of work. He's got an 0.97 ERA. Now, his win-loss record is 3-2, which means he's had some hard luck with some, like, unearned runs. But he's only allowed 8 runs total on the season, only 4 of which have been earned. So that's an ace that Fruitland feels pretty confident matching up against, for example, a Dylan Fine from Homedale.
Right. And you're going to need it come state baseball. We've talked so much about the big four, right, in 3A that you've got Marsh Valley, Kimberly, Homedale, and Sugar, right? That those four have just been there for the last couple of years. But you know what? Fruitland, there's no reason they can't crack into that and be the new name. It's fun to watch these kids start as freshmen that look, you know, their jerseys are way too big because they're, you know, they were just in middle school last year as freshmen. And now that they're big and doing their thing as they get bigger. So I'm excited to see them. I we still got a lot of season left to play. I don't want to punch their ticket to state right now. But you look at it in third place in the conference is Payette and Weezer are tied for third. And those are two teams that Fruitland's been able to take care of business against so far in the first matchup. They'll have a second matchup with each of them over the next couple weeks. So we'll have to see how those go. But right now, you like Fruitland to be maybe that second team to come out of the conference.
Yeah, when they played Homedale the first time and Homedale won 1-0, it was Bashong for Fruitland, Dylan Fine for Homedale, and then Peyton Fine came in to finish it off. Last night, Dylan Fine again towed the rubber for Homedale, and we could talk about him every week. He allowed one hit, had 16 strikeouts. I'm not sure who Fruitland pitched in that game yet. They haven't the stats haven't updated there. I'd be interested to see if it was Bashong or somebody else just to give Homedale a different look. But Logan, you love analyzing the data points on a given schedule, and it's going to be a fun exercise with Fruitland because what's been Homedale's one kind of tripping point this year? Marsh Valley, right? Yeah. And Marsh Valley's tripping point has been Kimberly. Well, guess who's beaten Kimberly this year? Fruitland.
12-7 beat them opening game.
And Marsh Valley lost to Malad. It's a 2A school, 1-0. Fruitland beat Malad 2-1 in 9 innings. Now they've lost to Sugar. They've lost to Homedale twice. So I don't know. I think Fruitland is definitely going to be in the mix, and they're going to have something to say about it.
I feel like we have this conversation every week that the 3A baseball tournament is just going to, it's going to be phenomenal, but it is, it's going to be awesome. And I think they play them, at least the schedule there, they're going to play Kimberly again down the stretch. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, or if I'm looking at, but
Yeah, you're on, yeah. on the April 25th, Kimberly's going to come to town for a night game in Fruitland.
Yeah, so, you know, it's fun to see those matchups, right? And, yeah, you know, sometimes it is just we match up better against certain teams than others. And that was early in the season, and, you know, Kimberly did go to state basketball, so maybe some of those guys weren't fully in it. Yeah, that was the week after state basketball, so don't know if that had anything to do with it, but guess we'll wait and see. Cause I know some of those Kimberly guys play basketball too, but yeah, it's gonna be fun. Like already ready for this tournament because it's gonna be wide open, a lot of great teams.
And Fruitland doing all this with a new head coach, Troy Bidwell, retired after his son Zane was finished up, and so Mark Vidlak is the head coach for Fruitland and. New face in charge, a lot of familiar faces on the diamond though. And the same old results for Fruitland. Way to go, Grizzlies. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Awesome work by Fruitland. Once again, no surprise.
Yep. All right. Let's go to our softball deep dive this week then, Logan. And it's going to take us to the Western Idaho Conference Class 2A level. And the team that's in first place and really kind of flexing their muscles lately, Coal Valley Christian. What a year it's been for Coal Valley Christian, just across the spectrum of like every sport. They seem to be at state competing. Yeah. It would be interesting at the end of the year to see which school had the most state participation in terms of like which one got the most teams to state, right?
We should come up with our own President's Cup, right? Like they do in college where they take like how all your teams finish in various sports and give that a point value and then see which program, because it doesn't matter. Like then you can quantify a Butte County and a Mountain View right on the same line, right? Because they're not competing directly against that team, just within their own class. How well do they do in their own classification? So, hey, we'll have to. No one's saying that's happening, but it would be interesting to look at something like that. But and I think we talked about this last week, Brandon, with Coal Valley. They just something's going on there, right? They're just starting to be they're very good at a lot of things, and it just seems like it's expected now, right? It's part of their culture that you're going to play for Coal Valley and you're going to be good. Like that's what we do. We put out good teams year in and year out, and they have been on a roll in softball. They lost a game at the Glens Ferry tournament over the weekend, but before that, the last time they had lost, their losses before that were to Homedale, a team in a classification above them, Nampa, a 5A school, Centennial, a 5A school, and then the Owyhee JV team, a 5A school. So they are just rolling through anybody that they see that is at their level or better. Around their same level in terms of school size. But then Malad was the one that tripped him up in that tournament. Malad got the 3-2 victory, but Malad was the state champion from a year ago. So you look at that if you're Coal Valley, you say, hey, we're right there with the state champ from last year. They got to feel good about where they sit right now in that regard.
Yeah, and Malad has been kind of the preeminent 2A softball program for a while now, right? They're kind of the top dog. They would be like Lapway basketball. That's for softball, right. It's Malad. And Logan, that game, and so Coal Valley went 3-1 at the Glens Ferry tournament. They beat Wendell, Bear Lake, and Westside. The Wendell win is a good one. Bear Lake, Westside, I'm not sure how good those teams are this year, but the Malad game is what you got to be encouraged by because they lost 3-2. It came down to one bad inning. Malad scored all three of their runs in the first inning, top of the first, and then Coal Valley shut them down the rest of the way. So one bad inning. Yeah.
And that's something that you can look back on, right? And say, okay, man, if we just clean up a few things. And that's what you like to see those matchups now. And then a month later you get them again and you know, maybe what you need to fix, what you need to adjust. And, you know, so will Malad, right? They got shut out for the rest of the game, so they'll know what they need to do to be a little bit better. But you got to be really encouraged if you're Coal Valley in that after that matchup.
For sure. It was the junior Carly Barnum pitching in the circle for Coal Valley. She has been their primary pitcher this year. A 2.64 ERA, 103 strikeouts to 27 walks, which is just phenomenal. But really, it's the offense that is kind of the main attraction most games for Coal Valley Christian.
Yeah, Brandon, and this is very much like Fruitland, right? If we look at in terms of batting average, players, it's young. It's a young team. Yeah, Lola Crosby leads the way, 638 hitter. She's a junior. You've got Lauren Colson, 583 hitter. She's a freshman, so you're going to hear that name forever. And then you just mentioned Carly Barnum, 479 hitter, and she's a junior. Abby English is a sophomore, a 435 hitter. So all these great hitters that Coal Valley has are not seniors. This team is going to be just as good next year. But you look at how many people are hitting over 400 on this team, and how do you go through a lineup? You know, right? You when you're 8 or 9 get up as a defense, you're like, all right, maybe we can relax. And I don't think that exists when Coal Valley gets up. It's like 1 through 6. There's no drop off, right? They are all solid, and it's a good, dangerous team.
Yeah, and the one thing I remember from Coal Valley Christian last year as well, Logan, is they love to put pressure on the base paths. When you look at the stolen bases for this team, Lola Crosby leads the way with 26 steals, but Colson, the freshman, is right behind her with 25. Coal Valley Christian has swiped 98 bags as a team. It's doing work.
Yeah, and I don't – is there a stat out there, Brandon? I don't know that stolen bases leading to runs. Like, does anybody track that? Like –
in the big leagues, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, like that would be an obscure stat. I'd be very curious to know. But manufacture a run. Put them across. You know, do whatever you can to get that run going. And I'm sure that's been, you look at some of the numbers that Coal Valley's put up, right? They beat Nampa Christian 20-0. They beat Westside 23-1. They beat Bear Lake 16-0. They're putting up runs, and it's not just belting it out of the park, right? It's working the bases, getting it done. They can't hit home runs. They've hit 7 of them on the season, so they are a team that can go deep. But they're going to manufacture runs all they want down there with those stolen bases.
Yeah, they're averaging just over 6 steals a game. So, yeah, getting that running game going has been crucial for Coal Valley Christian. And they, for the most part, have passed the test, right? They've played everybody in the league once except for Marcin. The closest game was with New Plymouth, a 7-5 win that came back on April 1st. And New Plymouth has long been the team to beat in this league. The rematch comes actually tomorrow, Logan, Wednesday, right, the 17th in New Plymouth. And so for the grit, maybe we're doing a deep dive on the Grims next week after they get a split with Coal Valley.
Right. Yeah. And this is a team that they only have one conference loss, and it was that one there to Coal Valley. And, they beat Nampa Christian on Monday, 14-2. You look at their schedule, or their record, and you see New Plymouth sits there 3-1 in conference, 9-9 overall, and maybe you go, oh, that's not that great. But look who they've lost. They lost to Coal Valley in a close one. Century, 4-18. Canyon Ridge, 4-18. Middleton JV, which is a 5-18. Caldwell, 4-A. They haven't lost to anybody that wasn't, and they lost 2 to Bonneville and then 2 to Snake River. So their only loss to a 2-A team is to Coal Valley Christian.
Yep. They went to East Idaho last weekend, Logan. They played Bonneville twice on Friday, and then they played Snake River twice on Saturday. You don't see New Plymouth and Bonneville match up in a lot of things. So that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, ever. That's not a common matchup for sure.
Yeah, it was fun to see. And for just to wrap up with Coal Valley Christian, obviously the conference game with New Plymouth coming up is huge. But I'm also looking to some non-conference games. The 19th, that's Friday. They're at Parma. We talked about Parma and how good they've been this year. They play Weezer on the 27th, and then they play Homedale, kind of the creme de la creme for Treasure Valley softball in 3A, on May 1st. So even the non-conference games are going to tell us a lot about Coal Valley Christian.
Yeah, they really backloaded the schedule with some really good games late that are non-conference. You don't see that a lot, right? You see a lot of conference games down the stretch, and a lot of games here against some really good teams out of conference should set them up well for state.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch them as they continue along, and we'll keep an eye on New Plymouth there as well. But that was our softball deep dive for this week. All right, Logan, and therein ends another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast. You're headed east to Pocatello for the DirectCom Invitational. Again, we're broadcasting that Friday morning starting at 10 o'clock. Should be a good time.
Yeah, you know, I honestly had not done, not been around track as much or not, much at all until doing this. And it is a fun, it's a fun event. It's fun to see everything and watch everybody do their thing out there. And everybody seems to have a lot of fun, the athletes, right? They get to go hang out with kids from other schools, things like that. And I was talking to one coach this week, and he was saying, you know, some of those sunny days, my you know, distance runners or my short sprinters, whatever, they, you know, they need to rest, but they get out there. And I wish they'd stay under the tent, but they get out there and they see, oh, there's a tent from this school, there's a tent from that school. Oh, hey, and they, and then they end up outside in the sun talking to their friends from other schools the whole time. And then, you know, instead of, so it was just, it was fun to hear that, right? That, you know, hey, it's a social event just as much as it is, an athletic event. So should be a fun time. Be sure to tune in and watch some of that, especially you New Plymouth and Emperor Christian folks.
Yep. Again, that's Friday starting at 10 a.m. The DirectCom invite from Pocatello on idahosports.com. All right. Thanks for tuning into the Treasure Valley Prepcast, everybody. Enjoy the competitions this week and this weekend. Travel safe, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning in to the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.